Someone asked Brother Ron Ribeiro to come. And Brother Ron, we may change up just a little bit. If you don't mind, just to preach first, and then we'll show your video afterwards. How's that? That way we'll just feel like the Lord would lead us to do that. You just share with us from the Word of God what He's put on your heart for tonight. And so we don't have a missionary that more folks love than Brother Rom. And we have some great ones here. Brother Stephen Carrier is here. We certainly love him. Some of the people in that row love him the most. And he is a great one. And Brother Graham Foran has so faithfully served our Lord, and we love him. But of all the good missionaries we have, Brother Rom is one that has just been a faithful servant of the Lord and has been a great and wonderful blessing, of course, to us from here, but then to the multitudes of people down there they've shared the gospel with and the ministry. And so it's a joy to have him with us. And so we were going to show his video and have him just catch us up to date. But I just feel like, why don't you just preach what the Lord has for us? Then we'll have an invitation. Then we'll come back and then show the video and just kind of catch us up to date. Yes. Would that be okay? Thank you.
Thank you. What a spiritual banquet we have had here tonight. Amen. Beautiful children, the Hart family. And if you want to make a lot of money, you need to sell Brazilian coffee. Okay, go for the Brazilian coffee. There's no mistake there. What a blessing to be back to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I need to say this to you before I forget. This was one of the first churches to take us on for support. I was a college student when I came here the first time on a Wednesday evening service. That young man was the preacher then. He was the pastor of the church. By the way, the church is 245 years, right? And Pastor Herdman is the second pastor? Is that right? I came here and I had nothing to show. Just me and Rachel. We were newly married. And you allowed me to come before this pulpit and just share my vision, my desire to go back to Brazil and become a church planting in Brazil. And you believed me. And you led the church to take us on for support. 30 years later, by the grace of God, we have established 7 Bible-believing churches. 1 Bible Institute, a Christian school, and I am on the radio 2x a day, 7 days a week. And that's all by the grace of God. But after I came here and I became one of your missionaries, then I told other churches and other pastors that Preacher Gene Leslie was behind us. And that name was a magic name. If Gene Leslie is behind you, we can be behind you as well. And then, throughout the years, this church has been one of our very best friends. And I want to thank you so much for all that you have done for us. Whatever we have accomplished together. Tonight, when I arrived here, I saw some visitor spots. And I told Rachel, I'm not parking here. I'm not a visitor. I'm an extension of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And whatever we have accomplished together. And this is what missions is all about. So I hear that today is a missionary day, that you are emphasizing your missionaries, you're emphasizing missions. And this church is a very missionary-minded church. And no wonder God is always blessing this place, blessing this ministry in a very, very special way. And throughout the years, we have faced some major trials. And the most difficult ones, I called Pastor Leslie to pray for us. I knew that was one of his main ministries, the ministry of prayer. And he would go by the side of his, I believe it was a creek, and he would kneel down by the side of that creek, and he would pray for us. I knew back in Brazil that he was praying for us. And that gave us strength, and helped us and enabled us to go through our own trials. Now we are here only by the grace of God. If you knew me like God knows me, you would not like me. But this is true about all of us. So we are here only by the grace of God, and everything we have accomplished is by the grace of God. So tonight, when we watch the video, I want you to see yourself in those pictures. And believe me, we are doing that together. Now we have here tonight Brother Grant Foran. What a blessing he is. And I want to thank him personally. Where is he? For all the years that you and Renee and your children spent in Brazil. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much, Graham, for your sacrifice and dedication. I did not like when I heard that you were coming back home, that you were no longer returning to Brazil as a missionary. You know, we are not receiving missionaries anymore. We need more missionaries like you. But I understand God will use you here greatly. He used you greatly in Brazil, all the churches you established. And your church sent him to Brazil. And we want to thank you for that. God bless you. And he will reward you in heaven for all the Brazilians that you led to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. And thank you, Pastor Herdman, for allowing me to be here tonight in your church behind your pulpit. I do not take this opportunity for granted. But let me ask you this question. Are you understanding my English? Because everybody else here is used to my English. Are you understanding my English? Who speaks better, me or Bruno? Because now Bruno is insisting his English is better than mine. He is just like me, even. By the way, I am Bruno's father-in-law. Now he wants all the church to get to know me as his father-in-law. I can take it. He's a wonderful son-in-law. Thank you for receiving my daughter and Bruno here this morning. They sent us a message saying that the service was wonderful and they were hugely blessed by being here with you as well. Now let me go ahead and introduce Rachel and Rochelle. Rachel is my wife. Please, could you stand up? And Rochelle, my daughter, thank you so much for being here with me as well. My family, I could not have the ministry that I have without my wife. There is a saying that behind every successful man, there is a great or woman. Could be your mother. I am not that successful yet. But I do have a great wife. She's not 50% of my ministry. She's 100%. I could not have the ministry I have without Rachel. She's the third generation of missionary in her family. Grandparents, missionaries to Mexico. Her parents, missionaries to Brazil. She was born, raised in Brazil. That means she can speak Portuguese just like me. And she can speak English just like you. And then we have two daughters, and one of them has become a missionary, fourth generation then of missionary in the family. Very good. I'm going to preach my missionary report tonight. Would you please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. I don't know if Pastor Hardman knows that, but Preacher Leslie would go to Brazil to check on us every other year. Right, Graham? He was afraid that you and I were not behaving ourselves well. Especially me, I know. But he would come every other year to check on us. And he came back home always very happy. Amen? Now, I need Pastor Herdman to do the same. And come and check on us. Because it's going to be a blessing. Are we Christians by name and by action, or only by name? That's a very important question. When the disciples were first called Christians, they were called Christians not because they were affiliated with the church or because they had been baptized, but they were called Christians because they were imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christian means miniature of Jesus. And here is the question: are we Christians because we are imitating the Lord Jesus in our walk with God, or because we are affiliated with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, or because we have been baptized? I believe most Christians do not understand the meaning of being a Christian. And no wonder the world is still lost. 2,000 years later, there are 2.5 billion people in the world that never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ even once. Because Christians are not being real Christians. I remember some years ago in Brazil, in one of the largest penitentiaries in the state of São Paulo, there were two religious men preaching their gospel to the prisoners. One of them was a Catholic priest, and the other one was an evangelical pastor. And they were teaching the prisoners almost at the same time. But that was causing confusion, because the Catholic priest was teaching salvation by work, and the evangelical pastor, he was teaching salvation by grace. And the prisoners were confused, and they were fighting against each other because of their beliefs. Then the director of the prison called those two men and said to them, "I'm sorry, but I can no longer allow you to come and minister your religion here in my prison, because rather than helping, you're causing turmoil." Then the Catholic priest got very mad, and he said to the director, "I demand to stay. You send the evangelical pastor away, but I deserve to stay here, because 80% of these prisoners are Catholic, and they have the right to have a priest." The director said, "Okay, let me check on that." And he checked that information, and actually, not 80%, but 90% of the whole population in the prison was Catholic. Then the director called them back and said, "Well, I found out that 90% of my prisoners are Catholics. So I decided to send you, priest, away and keep the evangelical pastor, because you have not helped them. They're bad people. They're bad Christians. Perhaps the evangelical pastor can help them to be changed." But have you noticed that those prisoners were calling themselves Christians, Catholic Christians, because they understood nothing about being a real Christian? That is, someone who imitates the Lord Jesus Christ and applies all his teachings to his own life and his personal walk with God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When someone comes to me and asks, "How can I know for sure that I'm saved? I'm doubting my salvation," and that happens all the time, I ask two questions. And this is the first one: Do you remember any time in your life that transformation occurred? Do you remember any time in your life that you were changed? If the person says, yes, I remember when I received Jesus, my life was transformed and I was changed. I noticed transformation in my life. I say, that's a good sign. That's a good sign you are saved. Because the Bible promises, if any man be in Christ, if he is saved, he is a new creature. Amen. There must be transformation in someone who calls himself a Christian. When I got saved, I was a professional bartender. And I was only 12 years of age. You have heard that before. I would go to school in the morning, and in the afternoon I would go to the bar to work with my father behind the counter, serving liquor to the customers. And I knew how to mix all kinds of drinks. When my father was not watching, I was mixing a strong drink with my Coke. And I was dreaming about the day that I could become just like one of his customers. But one day, my father entered an elevator, and someone gave him a simple gospel tract inside an elevator. And just out of curiosity, my father decided to visit the church. The address was behind the tract. And he closed his bar a little earlier on a Sunday afternoon. And he went to church Sunday evening. He understood nothing of the service. Back then, the pastor of the church was an American missionary. And his accent in Portuguese was very heavy. And my father was not used to his accent and understood nothing of the service. But he left his address behind. A week later, that missionary went to visit my father. And what a surprise! It was not the address of a house, of a home. It was the address of a bar. Of a bar. And that missionary decided he was not going to waste his time. So he decided to enter the bar with his black book under his arm. I remember that day because I was there. He entered the bar. My father told me to stay behind the counter serving the customers. And he went to talk to the missionary. They sat down around the table. And the missionary opened his Bible and shared the plan of salvation with my father. And the missionary said, Mr. Ribeiro, if you want to serve God and save your son, he pointed his finger at me behind the counter, and you want to save your little boy from a languishing future, sell this bar and come to church with us. What a challenge. The missionary did not know, but my father was already tired of that lifestyle, making money out of the misery of other people. In less than a month, the bar had been sold. My father went to the church, and as a little boy, followed after his steps. And in that church, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my only and personal Savior. Now, I am here behind this pulpit because my father made the right decision. Rather than having a son who is a drunkard, he has a son who is a preacher of the Word of God. And I tell parents all over the place, whatever decision you're making today, big or small, will affect the lives of your children tomorrow. That's why we need to make always right decisions for the sake of our family, this generation, and the next generation. I got saved and I was transformed. That's what I'm trying to say. Transformation took place in my life. That little boy behind the counter serving liquor to the customers. I was one of the five worst students in my class of 45 students. I was what you can say a bad apple, a very bad apple, a bad influence. I always sat down in the back of the classroom, and I talked to the other boys all the time. I did not pay attention to the teachers. But I got saved. I got transformed. And by the end of that school year, I was considered one of the 5 best students of my class. Amen. And then I remember my history teacher, Senhor Francisco. He asked me in front of everybody at the end of the year. He was really impressed with my transformation, with my grades. And he said, "Rom, all the teachers are talking about you, about your new behavior, about your grades. I want to know what happened." Amen. And I stood up before my classmates, before my teacher, and I shared my testimony of salvation. Amen. And I explained to them that I had received the Lord Jesus Christ as my only and personal Savior. And since He came into my heart, He transformed my life. And I'm not exaggerating. For the next 3 to 5 minutes, that teacher and all my friends were clapping hands. They were clapping hands. I believe that was my very first sermon. And I haven't stopped since then. So transformation has to occur. But you know what? Transformation is a process. Salvation happens just once, at once, and salvation is forever. But transformation, it takes our whole life. Even the best Christian among ourselves here tonight has some room for transformation. Even if you have been in Christ for 50 years, 70 years, you have room for transformation in your life. We are like that butterfly in the process of becoming a beautiful butterfly, but sometimes you get ugly and uglier, but then you say, "Be patient with me. God is not done with me yet." Amen? Amen. God is not done with us yet. We are not perfect. The Apostle Paul is not teaching us to be perfect. He's only teaching us to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is possible only when we are in the church and we are in the Word of God. And I was in the church and I was in the Word of God as soon as I got saved. As soon as my father took me to church, I became very involved in the Word of God and in my local church. Let me say something about the local church. There is no substitute. There's no replacement for the local church. I was with a pastor just a week ago, and he was discipled by Gene Leslie. I'm not going to say his name, but he was discipled by Gene Leslie. And he kind of said this to me: "I learned more with that pastor than I learned in college." And I believe that, because I also learned more with my local church, more with my pastor, than I learned in college or in grad school. Nothing replaces the importance of the local church. So my transformation happened as I was growing spiritually under the ministry of my pastor in my local church. So transformation is a process. And God is not calling us to be perfect, but He is calling us to try to be perfect. Do you understand the difference? I know I'm not going to be a perfect husband, but I'm trying to be. I am not going to be a perfect father, but I'm trying to be. I am not going to be a perfect missionary, but I'm trying to be. And that's what God is asking us, just to do our best. Did you know that John Wesley became an evangelist and a missionary before he was ever saved? Isn't that interesting? And he was on his way from London to Georgia here in the USA as a missionary without salvation. He got saved during the trip coming to the States. And he believed in perfection. And he created a lot of methods to make Christians more perfect. And he always taught his disciples to be perfect. And he himself tried to be perfect. But I read that on his deathbed, he concluded that was impossible. He's perfect now, but he was not perfect then. And that's the name Methodist came from, his methods for perfection. No, we are not going to be perfect in this world. We are going to be perfect with Jesus. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that moment. But then I learned that I was not saved only for my own sake. I was not saved so I could go to heaven one day, but I was saved to be a light and to make a difference in this world. Verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." I learned immediately upon my salvation that God was saving me so he could save others. He was saving me so others could be saved as well. So he gave me this ministry called reconciliation. There is a chasm between God and man, separating God from man. So God cannot go to man, man cannot come to God, because there is a chasm separating them. But then, Jesus is the mediator, which means a bridge between God and man. And it's my job to lead people through that bridge to God the Father. I learned that from day one, that God was calling me to be a soul winner, to lead others to the knowledge of Christ. I was 12 years of age. My father sold his sinful business. I had to find me a job. And in Brazil back then, it was very common for children to be hired and have full-time jobs. I would go to school in the evening, but I would work from 7:30 in the morning until 6 in the afternoon, every day, including Saturdays. Don't be sorry. That was a blessing. I found a job in a car shop. The mechanics would wash the cars, and I would come behind them cleaning the cars before we returned the cars to the customers. And I used to share my testimony with all the mechanics. I was excited about my salvation. I was a new convert. I was experiencing my first love. I was excited sharing my testimony of salvation. And one day, one of those mechanics, by the name of Luis, he was older. He was 17. I was only 12. He was taller. I was shorter. And then he asked me, "How do you know that when you die, you're going to heaven? Is that possible? I said, yes, it is. It is in the Bible. And he said, show me. So at lunchtime, he and I went behind the building. And I shared the plan of salvation. Back then, I had memorized the map of Romans, the Roman map. And I shared with him all the steps for salvation. And at the end of my presentation, he was more than willing to kneel down and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a new convert. I was a child when I led my first soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, 25 years later, I was in that same city called Ribeirão Preto. And I had to take my car to a mechanic. And can you guess who the mechanic was? By coincidence, it was Luis. I recognized him. He recognized me. And I asked him, Luis, what happened? And he said, I got saved. I got married. I went to church. Today I'm a deacon. My wife and I are serving God along with our 5 children. The first soul I ever led to the Lord Jesus Christ became a committed Christian. Isn't that a blessing? Now let me say this to you. This ministry called Reconciliation was given to all of us. Sheep produce sheep. We pastors take care of the sheep. But there are souls out there that only you can reach for God and nobody else. Nobody else. The opportunity is only yours to lead them to the knowledge of the gospel. We pastors, missionaries, in the quality of sheep, we produce sheep as well. But if the church depends on the leadership to grow, the church will never grow. But it depends on each one of us to go after souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given this ministry. I became a soul winner before I ever learned that I was going to become a missionary, that I was going to be involved in full-time ministry. This ministry belongs to every real Christian, the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I have noticed that if we pretend to be perfect, we scare people away from God. We are not better than the world. We are only saved. But we are not better. Sometimes I think we are worse because we have the knowledge of the truth and they don't. They don't. And we do. So don't prevent people from coming to God by trying to show them that you're better. We are not better. God does not love us more than He loves them. But how can we become good witness if this is our job? Verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You know, an ambassador is a representative of a country. And for example, in my case, I love this country. And I love this country more than a lot of Americans do. I love this country because everything I am and everything I have, I owe to this country. I was saved under the ministry of an American missionary. I was discipled and trained by American missionaries. I entered a Bible Institute established by American missionaries. Then I came to Bob Jones University, an American institution. I was sent back to Brazil by American Bible-believing churches. My wife is American. My daughters are Americans. In 2010, I gained my American citizenship. I made a point of becoming an American in South Carolina. That's my home state. Haven't you noticed I speak Southern? Y'all be careful now, you hear? When I hear Americans criticizing this country, I'm talking about the country, the constitution, the laws, the culture of this country, I usually tell them you should travel abroad. Because if you travel abroad, you come back more grateful. You don't know what you're saying. But you know what? We are all Americans second. We are Christians first. Because USA, Brazil will pass away one day, but heaven will never pass away. And we have been called to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are supposed to represent Him in the best way possible. But I want to share this teaching with you before I close. Verse 21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Brother Graham, can you help me here, please? I'm going to show a vivid illustration. And you're so handsome, you're going to embellish my sermon tonight. Used to be the hair. Look what Brazil can do to you. You know, this Bible verse is so rich. So rich. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us." We are sinful people, saved, but we are still sinful people. What happened is that when Jesus reconciled us with the Father, He just covered us with His blood. Amen?
Nice coat.
Nice coat, but you give it back to me later. Now, when God looks at us, He doesn't see anything in us. I am perfect before God tonight. You are perfect before God. Because when He looks at us, He sees only the blood. But you know what? Our sins are still there. Under the blood, but still there. That's why we are no better than anybody else. We are just saved. But the blood of Jesus covered us. And God can no longer condemn us because we are washed by the blood. Keep that in mind as God will use you from now on to lead more and more people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. This is called the Ministry of Reconciliation. So this is a missionary day, and I can say this, all of us are missionaries here tonight. All of us. Some of us have been sent abroad. But missions begins here in Great Tennessee, Johnson City, and all the other cities around. Wherever place you put your feet, that's your mission field. You and I are missionaries together. Think about it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for giving us freedom to worship You here tonight. We had freedom from the beginning of this service and freedom to share the Word of God. Now may the Holy Spirit have the same freedom to touch our hearts, to become real Christians, and to fulfill our mission of reconciliation. In Jesus' name, Amen.
As the ladies play, I'd like for you to stand if you're able to and just think about this. Christian means, as he said, little Christ, imitators of Christ, like Jesus. And I believe there's a lot of saved people who aren't acting much like Christians. And so I'd hate for us to think, oh yes, I'm saved, I got that taken care of, and then think we can just go and just act however we want to. Shame on us. Maybe tonight God's impressed upon your heart, I need to live like a Christian. I need to live in such a way that I lift up Christ. I'm a Christ follower. I'm a missionary. I'm an ambassador. Reconciling folks to Christ. If that's you tonight, I invite you to come and pray. Maybe you want to pray there at your seat. But I challenge, if you're living, you say, I'm saved. I know it. But you're not living like a Christian. Shame on us, friend. We've all been there. We're not any better. We understand that. But let's try. I love what Brother Rahm said. He's not perfect, but he's trying. Isn't that a good description of how we ought to be living? Would you come tonight? If you're here, not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here in front of the pulpit. And as Rahm was preaching, maybe you'd say, that got me. He talked about that when he got saved. I need to do that. Would you step out and come? As they just play one more verse, if there's something else in your heart, maybe you want to present yourself for membership to Buffalo Ridge. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe there's some other spiritual need. We set up a time to do any of these things. Would you step out and come as they play, and then we'll close in just a moment. You may look this way. Here's what I'd like to do. It's about 5 till 8, and Brother Rahm is going to show us an update video, but I also have some ladies in the nursery and the class down there. If you've got somebody in there, if you wouldn't mind to slip down that way, if you need to slip on because of schedule, you need to get off for work or something, I understand that completely. But so we'd like to have just a little bit more of a relaxed time, and so what I'd like to do is have Brother Rahm come back up, and we'll show this video, but you feel free to slip out and get your children. If you need to slip on, that's fine as well. But then I'd like to have him do that, and then we want to, after he gets done with that, then this is Ms. Summer Scroggs' last service, and we've got, I want to just pray her off, and I want us to have a time of prayer together. So, Brother Rahm, why don't you come set up the video. The rest of us will be seated as people slip out and get their children.
The video is going to be only 5 minutes, and it's going to tell the whole story. And you are a part of this story from the beginning. You have been with us from day one to this moment. So the secret is this. See yourself, your church, in those pictures. And just keep in mind, it is our ministry, not my ministry, our ministry together.
It seems like yesterday, Rahm, Rachel, Rochelle, and Roxanne became church planters in the country of Brazil. And what happened after that? By God's grace, and with the help of their American Baptist sending churches, they have established 7 dynamic, Bible-believing churches in the country of Brazil. But let us go back to the beginning of this missionary story. BIMI missionary Jemmy Rose led 12-year-old Rahm to the Lord Jesus Christ when Rahm was already a professional bartender at his father's bar. At the age of 13, Rahm was called to be a missionary from Brazil to Brazil. He began preaching the Word of God and leading the music for his local church. Besides Jemmy Rose, Be I Am My missionary Dan Johnson was also very influential in Rom's life. Here they are pictured together in a youth meeting. Rachel is the daughter of longtime missionaries to Brazil, Dr. Thomas and Linda Gilmer. She was born and raised in Brazil. At the age of 8, she was also called to be a missionary under the ministry of her parents, and like Rom, she has been serving the Lord since her childhood. Both Rom and Rachel received their formal training in Bible colleges in the United States before returning to Brazil as missionaries. Rochelle and Roxanne grew up on the mission field, helping their parents in church planting ministry. God has used this family to expand the gospel through various ministries in Brazil. The first church was started in a precarious shed in their backyard, with only a handful of people. But today, they have their own building. And this church is considered one of the largest fundamentalist Baptist churches of the country, emphasizing the importance of the family and the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus. 6 more churches were born through this ministry, and all of them practice faith promise giving for missions. 2 deaf churches were established with the help of BIMI missionary Carl Johnson. Jamie Rose Christian School, named after Rom's pastor, was established to provide Bible-centered education to children. Hundreds of children have been saved and graduated from this school. Rom is on the radio 7 days a week with 2 programs, The Bible Is Always Right and The Herald of God. Maranatha Bible Institute was established to train nationals for the local church ministry and for missions. Hundreds of students have graduated from this institute. This is the rented building of church number 7 the Ribeiros are establishing in the city of Cambé in the south of Brazil. Rom helped organize a small group of Brazilian Baptist pastors along with their churches to start the Antioch Church Planting Project. In less than 10 years, they have established 4 churches through the Mother Church concept. Roxanne and her husband Bruno are BIMI missionaries on deputation. They plan to return to Brazil to do church planting ministry as well. Praise the Lord for His grace and mercy surrounding Rom and Rachel's church planting ministry in Brazil. And thank you to each one of you for making this ministry possible. Their sending church is Bethel Calvary Baptist Church in Taylors, South Carolina. Their USA address is Mount Abarim Baptist Mission International, P.O. Box 173067, Arlington, Texas 76003, telephone 817-419-0363, their email rombrazil@gmail.com.
Well, amen. I just wanted to get that to us so we could see the joy of what the Lord has used Brother Rom to do. And as we conclude here in just a little bit, we will say goodbye, of course, to Ms. Summer Scroggs. I want each of us to be praying. She'll leave out on fly out from the Tri-Cities on Wednesday. And I want to just have, if you'll do it, Preacher Lassie, Daniel, would you mind getting me a, I'll get one here, a microphone. And it's number one. Graham, would you get that to Preacher? And I'd just like for Preacher, if you would mind, just pray a prayer of dedication over Summer again. We had our commissioning service here just a little while back. But I'd like to, as he prays, you pray with him and ask the Lord to bless. We have many folks that could have prayed for us, but Preacher has meant so much to Brother Marty and Miss Tracy and Summer's life. And so we want you to, if you would, pray for her. And pray that God would bless her as she goes to Africa and keep her safe and use her in a mighty way. And then as he prays, let's all back him up and pray together. Preacher, would you pray for her?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege tonight to bring Summer to you. Lord, she's been a real testimony here. She's grown up in the Lord over these years and had a wonderful mother and father and grandparents. And Lord, thank you that your hand is upon her. Lord, would you bless her, and Lord, as she goes down there to this place in Africa, Lord, would your hand be upon her, fill her with the Spirit. Lord, I know when you led me down here, I said, Lord, I don't want to go unless you go with me, and I'm sure that's Summer's desire now. Lord, I don't want to go down there to Africa unless you go with me. And Lord, fill her with the Spirit. May this church pray behind her and lift her up in prayers every day and use her mightily. May we hear in a few years of her winning many to the Savior. And Lord, right now we commit her to thee. Thank you for her. We love her. Thank you for this church, Lord, for all the missionaries that's gone out from this place. Now go with Summer. And Lord, supply her need financially and fill her with the Spirit now and use her mightily for the glory of God. We thank you for her. And Lord, may this church stand with her in their prayer, in their prayers. And go, Lord, now as she goes, go with her, I pray. And we'll hear great things accomplished if the Lord is with her and filled her with the Spirit. We thank you for her now. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. All God's people said amen. Well, what a joy to be in church tonight. Thank you so much for being here. I'd like to do several different things here. And one, I'd like to have Miss Summer, if you don't mind, you and your parents to slip out. We got beautiful weather out there. We'll open up the doors if you get by and just tell her that you'll be praying for her. But Brother Rom, if you didn't mind to slip out there as well, somewhere out right outside as the doors go out. And once you get by and see the Ribeiros and make sure that you'll assure them of your prayers and to get a prayer card if you don't have one. And just get a good look at them and remind yourself how to pray better for this mission work down there. And then we're going to ask the Hart family to go. Their table is right in the center. And they have got so many needs, and they're kind. They don't say all of these different things, but I've gotten to talk to them a little bit today. And they've got big plans. They want to see the Lord do mighty things in their ministry. And so I believe that our church can come alongside. Maybe God would put on your heart to help out. There's contact information on there. Maybe you want to help them out tonight. But maybe you want to put something through the offering later. We'll write something to them. We'll give them a love offering for today, of course. But maybe God would move on your heart. Whatever God leads, I trust that you'll be faithful to do it. But I hope you get by and see the scroll, Miss Summer. And then Brother Rom, of course, as well. And then see the Hart family. Thank you for being in church tonight. Let's all stand together. It's just been a good place to be, a little bit longer of a service tonight, but I hope you haven't minded that. It's just a great time in the Lord. God bless you. You're dismissed. Hey, Brother Scotty. Good.